Good afternoon, everybody. Today will be the 16th of March. I want to welcome you today. If you're watching this, go ahead and subscribe, like, comment, and share on my YouTube channel. Like, comment, and share my podcast, Tom and Sarah, or here, like, comment, and share here on Facebook. All right. I want to welcome you today. And we're going to be talking into John 21, the final chapter of the Gospel of John. We did it. Since the beginning of the year, we've done it. Hallelujah. All right. Actually, it was really funny, but my intention was to be going through a chapter a day, but that didn't happen. So here we are. Anyway, in John 21, verse 1, later, Jesus appeared once again to a group of his disciples by Lake Galilee, or the Romans called it Lake Tiberias, and named after Tiberius Caesar. And then later is like after he met with Thomas, you know, and told him to do it and to put his fingers in his hands and thrust his hand in his side. And blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. So later, we don't know how long later, but just later, once again to a group of disciples by Lake Galilee. And it happened one day while Peter, Thomas the twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, Jacob and John, or James and John, and other two disciples were all together. Peter told them, "I'm going fishing." And they all replied, "We'll go with you." So they went out and fished through the night, but caught nothing. Nothing upsets a fisherman more than fishing all night, especially a professional fisherman, fishing all night and catching nothing. So I want to bring something out here that I think is really, really, really important. And a lot of times when you're discouraged or in despair, it feels like your life has hit a brick wall. One of the things that happens is that, you go back to your default. You go back to what you feel comfortable with. Peter, before he met Jesus, was fishing. And I believe he's going back to a time before he met Jesus. He didn't get it, that Jesus was alive and that he wasn't going to leave him. I believe he didn't get it. He probably still feels a little bit remorse about, specifically about denying Jesus. And he just figures he's at the end of it. I'm just going to go fishing. So they joined him. They caught nothing all night. And then at dawn, Jesus was standing on the shore, but the disciples didn't recognize that it was him. A lot of times we don't recognize when Jesus is coming to us. This morning I went to the Bethel Healing Rooms because I wanted to just pray. I just wanted to be with the Lord. I just wanted to enjoy him. And I didn't expect him to speak to me, but he spoke to me a couple of times from people that I, what they shared with me is personal, so I'm not going to share it. But the deal is that it really, really ministered to my heart. I needed to hear these things. But I was looking for him, and we read in Deuteronomy, and we read in Jeremiah that if you seek me, Jesus, God says, if you seek me, you will find me if you search for me with all your heart. Psalm 27 says, "Seek my face," and my soul cried out, "Lord, your face I will seek." So they didn't recognize him, and he called out at them and said, "Hey guys, did you catch any fish?" One translation says that, "Have you caught anything to eat?" And they replied, "Not a thing." Verse 6, Jesus shouted to them, "Throw your net over the starboard side and you'll catch some." So they did as he said, and they caught so many fish that they couldn't even pull in the net. Now, this is a time when it goes back to when Jesus did that for Peter. Remember, Peter had fished all night, and he says, throw your net on the other side of the boat, and you'll make a catch. And he did. So this is a reminder. This is a reminder. They caught so many fish, they couldn't even pull the net. And then verse 7, And then the disciple whom Jesus loved, John, said to Peter, it's the Lord. He recognized him. It was John, the one whom Jesus loved, that recognized the voice of Jesus. Perhaps it was the miracle itself that reminded him. Maybe it was Peter's discouragement that prevented him from understanding the voice of God. Maybe he was overcome by his doubts. I don't know. But it was the disciple that Jesus loved that said, it's the Lord. And then Peter heard him say that. He quickly wrapped his outer garment around him because he was athletic. Okay, the Greek literally translates because he was naked. But, you know, in spite of the Greek saying that he was naked, the problem is solved with the Aramaic that just said that he was athletic. So he jumps over the boat, wraps his thing behind around him. And sometimes we have to be laid bare. He dove right into the lake to go to Jesus. And the other disciples then brought the boat to shore, dragging their catch of fish. Remember, it was Peter that got out of the boat when Jesus said, when Jesus was walking on the water, Lord, if it's you. And he says, come on, Peter. And Peter walked on the water. Peter jumps in the water this time. They row the boat to shore, dragging their catch of fish. They weren't far from the land, only about 100 meters, so about a football field away. And when they got to the shore, they noticed a charcoal fire had some roasted fish and bread. Now, dare I say that... that it was fish that never had seen water, and it was bread that never had seen an oven. And then Jesus said, bring some of the fish that you caught. You know, see, Jesus has already prepared a table for us in the presence of our enemies. And we need to come sometimes and just bring what we have. We may not have a lot. Like the little boy at the feeding of the 5,000, he didn't have a lot. He just had five loaves and a couple fish, and he was able to feed 5,000 men. I believe there were about 15,000 people that were there. And so Jesus said, bring some of the fish that you caught. It was standing next to a fire that Peter denied Jesus, and now it is standing next to a fire that Peter is about to be restored. Peter waded into the water and helped pull the net to shore. It was full of many large fish, exactly 153. There's a mighty harvest that is coming, and that's what this illustrates, as well as happened, but it also illustrates this global revival, this global outpouring, this global redemption of Jesus. And this great catch of fish is inaugurated through the process of Peter being healed inwardly of his guilt. Remember in Luke 5, it was Peter who started to follow Jesus after the great catch. And it is Peter now who is redeemed and restored after a great catch of fish. And so there were so many fish that the net isn't torn. Remember, God is always going to give you the provisions that you need, the help that you need, so that you won't lose out on the harvest that is coming. You're going to be part of a harvest, and you're not going to lose out on it. And Jesus said, come, let's have some breakfast. And not one of the disciples needed to ask who it was, because everyone knew that it was the Lord. And then Jesus came close to them and served them bread and fish. And this was the third time that Jesus appeared to his disciples after his resurrection. The first time he walks through the wall, the second time he helps Thomas believe, and this is the third time. So now they're having breakfast, and I want to say something here. They're having breakfast. And after breakfast, Jesus said to Peter, Simon, son of John, or son of Jonah, or son of the dove, do you burn with love for me more than these? Does your heart burn with passion for Jesus? My question to you is, does your heart burn today? Does your heart burn with passion for Jesus? Do you love me more than these? Now, he said, do you love me more than these? Now, is he talking specifically about the other disciples? Do you, like he's saying, Peter, do you love me more than these other disciples? Or Peter, do you love me more than this great catch of fish? Whichever. I believe that it was that he was more than the other disciples. It was Peter's boast that proved empty. It was Peter's boast that said, others may deny you, but I'll never deny you. And then so Jesus says, do you burn with love for me more than these? Do you agape me? Do you love me with no thought of having anything returned to you? And then Peter said, yes, Lord, you know that I have brotherly love or phileo or great affection for you. And then take care of my lambs, Jesus said. In Aramaic, it says, feed my rams, which are the male lambs. This may refer to the other disciples. We don't know. And Jesus repeated the question a second time. Simon, son of John, do you burn with love for me? Do you have agape love for me? And Peter said, yes, Lord, you know that I phileo you. You know that I have great affection for you. And then he said, take care of my sheep. Verse 17, and then Jesus asked him again, Peter, son of John, do you have phileo for me? Do you have great affection for me? And then Peter was saddened by being asked the third time. And he said, my Lord, you know everything. You know that I burn with love for you. Now here, Peter had denied Jesus three times, and Jesus wants him to know that he's fully restored. So he asks him three times, do you love me? And then he gave him three times to redeem himself. And then Jesus replied to him, then feed my lambs. So Jesus is first saying, take care of the grown-ups. Take care of the grown men. Take care of the sheep, the people that I give you. And then take care of the little children, the lambs. And Peter, listen. When you were younger, you made your choices. And you went where you pleased. In other words, you girded yourself and did what you wanted to do. But one day when you are old, when you are a gray-headed man, others will tie you up and escort you where you would not choose to go. And then you'll spread out your arms. I believe that this is a hint that Peter was going to die via crucifixion. Jesus prophesying. Jesus said this to prophesy what kind of death he would die for the glory of God. And then he said, Peter, follow me. I had this, we'll continue in just a second, and I'll share a testimony. But I want to first say, I want you to go ahead and subscribe to my YouTube channel, subscribe to my podcast channel, ask for notifications, make comments, like, share, even on my Facebook, like and share these videos. I'm assuming that you like and share them. That would be fine, but feel free. I do have financial needs. This ministry does have financial needs. I'm going to be going to BSSM next year. And right now, what's left is $5,460 is what I have left to pay. I have $140 already been donated, and I'm asking you to give. TomandSarah@Outlook.com, and I'll tell you how to do that. I'm going to be selling some things. I have a car up in Alaska I want to sell. I have some items here in Reading that I'm going to be selling. But if you want to help, if you just want to donate, a gift of $20 or more, and you'll get both of my books, SOS, A 50-Day Journey into the Heart of God. Also, From Breakdown to Breakthrough, My Journey to Soul Health. You can get those books for a gift of $20 or more from me. If you get them from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Walmart.com, that's fine. You can go ahead and do that. Feel free. Contact me if you want to give, and I'll send you the links. I'll also put them in the description on my YouTube channel. I'll put them in the above the video in my here on Facebook. All right, I'm going to share a little testimony here. A lot of times, well, what happened to me was the last 3 years, I went to Alaska for the last 3 years. Three summers specifically to help out. And a lot of times when you're in those situations, you get out of your rhythm, you get out of the way that you're doing things, all right? You get out of the pattern that you set for yourself, okay? And that happened to me. And when I came back to Bethel, when I came back to Reading in November, I desperately needed to be touched from the Lord. Many of you have heard this testimony, but I was up in Seattle for a couple weeks. I was visiting my granddaughters, and the car company that I was going to rent a car from, they wanted twice as much as it was advertised to bring one way to Reading. So I was going to drive down to Reading. And then I'm like, I can't do that. So I just said, forget it. And then I turned out and went to visit my granddaughters. And I was just praying, Lord, how am I going to get down to Reading? Maybe I'll take the train. I was looking at the train. Then I went to Expedia and I noticed that they were having a sale on airfare to Reading. And so what I did was, I looked it up, and it was about the same price as a train ride. Now, a train ride takes 16 hours. Plane, maybe 2 hours. And I was just kind of like going, okay. But they said that, you know, you can get this fare, but there is a Russian roulette game that you'll have to, you know, we don't know what airline, but you're going to only have to pay $150. And I said, praise God, I'll do it, you know. And so I went ahead, and I got and then it turned out to be Alaska Airlines, which I wanted to fly down here anyway. And as I was doing that, getting ready. Hi, Lester, good to see you. Hey, it was so good to see you at the conference last week, and you know, I didn't get a chance to talk to you, but you're a great man. I just wanted you to know that. And then so they gave me an email. Expedia sent me an email, said they'll take $25 off of my airfare if I wanted to fly on a different day. So I wanted to fly on a Tuesday, but they said, would you be willing to fly on Sunday, the Sunday before, or the Thursday after, and we'll take $25 off the ticket. So for $125, I said, yeah, absolutely. So I decided to go on Sunday and to fly back to Reading on a Sunday. And they only charged me $125 for the ticket. Got to fly Alaska Airlines, got to sit next to a guy who goes to the Twin View campus. And there were so many people on the plane from Bethel. It was really kind of funny. The flight attendants were joyful because that was a great flight for them. And then so it was a miracle for me. And I got back to Bethel, and I landed at 3 o'clock, and I had somebody pick me up. We went out for a little bite to eat, and then I went to the evening service. And I'm telling you, it was like a fire hose hit me in the head. It was like a fire hose of the Holy Spirit that hit me. And I was like, I was in such amazement, like, yes, God, thank you. And this is kind of what Peter must have been going through. Desperately needing the Holy Spirit, desperately needing a touch from God. And then Jesus just says, Peter, follow me. Everything was accomplished on the cross. Now, Peter, follow me. And when I got back to Reading, that's all I've done. And much to the chagrin of many people, I just got myself where I wanted nothing and nobody but Jesus. Now, we do need community. Amen. We do need community. We do need fellowship. But I wanted to be so intimate with Jesus. My prayer for this year has been, Holy Spirit, inhabit me. I don't want to date you anymore. I want to be married to you. I want to be married to you. Holy Spirit, come. I want to be filled with you. That's all I want. And people have, you know, looked at me and, you know, not kind of weird, but just kind of like, okay, you know, he'll calm down. But I'm not. I'm going after Jesus. And if they want to follow, that's fine. If they want to follow him, that's fine. But I'm going after him. Lester, I just want to tell you something. Your heritage and the mantle that your grandfather carried, and the mantle that was given to him, I believe you carry right now. And you're going to enter into this moment. I don't want to say moment, but you're entering into a major, major, major advancement in, yeah, you're entering into a major advancement in your ministry. I believe that it's going to start taking off. I believe that the family is going to follow with you, you know, and God's going to bring them to a place of tremendous fulfillment, tremendous outpouring through their lives, into their lives. And God's doing it. As in Joshua chapter 1, he says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. As he was with your grandfather, as he was with your father, God is with you. Only limitless at this point. It's limitless. And I just wanted to give that to you. Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following him. Was following them. This was the disciple that sat close to Jesus that asked him, Lord, who is the one that will betray you? So when Peter saw him, he asked Jesus, well, what's going to happen to him? If I'm going to be like this, what's going to happen to him? And Jesus said, if I decide to let him live until I return, what concern is that of yours? You must still keep on following me. So the rumor started to circulate among the believers that this disciple, John, was never going to die. But Jesus never said that. He said, if I were to let him live until I return, what is that to you? Let it go. My desire isn't so much to worry about other people anymore. You know, I got to tell you, the last time that I was here at Bethel, toward the end of my time here, I got really, really self-centered, arrogant. Like the world revolved around me. Like I had to prophesy over people. I had to pray for somebody for things to happen. I had to pray for somebody for them to actually be healed. And I want to tell you, that's hogwash. And I had to humble myself. And I've confessed it as sin already. And I've repented of it. And all I really, really want is more of Jesus to flow through me. I want people to look at me and say, this man, like the disciples, this man spends time with Jesus. I want you to be able to be an imitator of me as I am of Jesus. All I want is Jesus. That's all I want to give. That's all I want is Jesus. Now, the end of the chapter here, I love chapter 21, but the end of the chapter here, John makes it very clear that he was written these things. So he says, I, John, evidentially speaking, inside the book and here flat out, everything points clearly that John is the author of this book. I, John, am that disciple. Hey, if you ever question, I'm that disciple that he loved. I'm that disciple who has written these things to testify of the truth. And we implies at this point when he says we is implies that John was getting with the other disciples so that he can have an accurate account of Jesus' life. He wouldn't leave anything out. And we know that what I've documented is accurate. Jesus did countless things that I haven't included here. And if every one of his works were written down and described one by one, and that's implied in the Aramaic, if he wrote everything down one by one, he says, I suppose the world itself wouldn't have enough room to contain the books that would have been written. The world would be emptied out of all the books. You know, there's that great song, O Love of God. It says, if the ocean were ink and every stalk a quill, to write the love of God would drain the ocean dry. And the scroll could not contain it, though spread from sky to sky. God loves you, man. And that's what the book of John is all about. The love, the passion, the glory of God. The love, the compassion, the glory of God. That's what it's all about, man. I want to ask you, give and surrender your life to Jesus. Today is the day he loves you. As many as received him, John said, he gave the power and the authority to become sons of God. Don't ever think that you've done anything that God can't forgive you of. The blood of Jesus was enough. The cross was enough. He said, it is accomplished. It's done. The accuser of the brethren has no case against you if you give your life to Jesus. Won't you do that today? Well, God bless you. Again, like, comment, share. On these videos, it'd be great. If you want to get in contact with me, tominsarah@outlook.com. That's how to do it. Well, God bless you guys. Have a great day. We'll see you Monday.